I think we're waiting.
Shalom everyone, and Shavuot Tov. We have Parashat Vayetchanan, which is the it's the beginning of the book of Deuteronomy. It's the second parasha, and Vayetchanan means "and I implored, and I begged," kind of. Okay, so there are lots of issues about it, but especially in many opinions of so many scholars, this is the parasha about the prayer, right? Because to implore, that's called to pray. Okay, now the question is, what does it mean? And we'll have to take it from few sides. First of all, here it is, the beginning of the parasha. It's in the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 3. Verse 23, and I implore to Hashem at that time, saying, Adonai Elohim, ata chilot ra'ot et avdecha, et godlecha ve'et yadcha zaka. So the Lord God, Hashem Elohim, you started to show your servant at your greatness. And so we see from these words how to pray. First of all, you approach, which means you have to mention yourself, who are you praying, okay, for, or to, okay, to. And then the request, let me pass or cross the river Jordan and I'll see the good land, across the Jordan, the good mountain, and the Lebanon. And then it goes on and it says that God, and there's the word vaitaber. We'll have some issue, some different opinions about what does it mean. And he didn't listen to me. And he said to me, okay, so that's one thing about the prayer. We'll go into it when it's time. Okay, we'll go into it. So that's for the first thing. The other thing is, like, of course, there are many, many things in this parasha. It's a very long, very big, but it is, it has a few very important things. First of all, the whole issue of a prayer. Now, if we go to chapter 5, verse 6, we have the 10 utterances mentioned all over again. Moses is repeating the 10, not exactly to the word. So the question is he, did Moses, did Moshe Rabbeinu forget? Okay, what was the story? Did he forget the words of the 10 utterances? Mount Sinai is something that you shouldn't forget. And there's also a lot of commentaries. The version we have over here, it's like the other side of the version that you can see in the book of Exodus, in Parashat Yitro. And another thing that is like to complete, like the pillars of the faith of Judaism, you have in chapter 6, verse 4, Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. You have the Shema Yisrael. So we have like those three pillars, the pillar of the prayer, the 10 utterances, and the Shema Yisrael, all in this parasha. We have some other things, but these are the three major things of this parasha that without them, we can't understand. Basically, we can understand the whole Torah, because that's what the Torah is about these three issues. So let's start with that, and we start with the beginning, of course, with the Zohar. And we have a few issues over here that we have to cover. First of all, the whole thing of what is the power of a prayer. And then it says, Vayetchanan l'Hashem vayetei lemo. I'm reading from the Zohar of Parashat Vayetchanan from the beginning. Hashem Elohim, the Lord God, ata achilot alaot davdecha, Rabbi Yossi Pata, Rabbi Yossi Open. And Rabbi Yossi is quoting one of the greatest stories of the whole Tanakh, Isaiah. This is Isaiah 38. Vayasev Chizkiyahu panav el hakir vayitpalal el Hashem. The king Chizkiyahu was a great king. He was one of the most righteous kings that reigned in Jerusalem. He was grand, great, great, great son of King David. Okay, King David lived 1000 BCE, and Ezekiel about 250 years later. More, he was born about 250 years later. We are talking about around the year 720 BCE. That was when the Assyrians conquered the northern kingdom of Israel, of the 10 tribes, took them to exile, and then they went southward and they put a siege over Jerusalem after they put in chaos the whole kingdom of Judah and took most of the inhabitants to exile also. So around that time, Ezekiel the king got sick, and prophet Isaiah, who was his cousin, comes to him and he says, your days are numbered and you're supposed to die. And there's nothing he can do about it. And then he leaves. And then he says, and that's Isaiah 38, and Vayasev Chizkiyahu panav el hakir vayitpalel. And Chizkiyahu turned his face to the wall and he prayed to Hashem. And the result was that he did tshuva, and it says he prayed to the wall in front. He turned to the wall, and that's why you notice a lot of people, they prefer to pray facing the wall, directly to the wall. It's coming from this verse. However, many commentators are saying, it's like you have to pray from the depth of your heart. And there is also an expression in Hebrew, you pray from the walls of your heart. So it's not that you have to stand next to the wall, although it's also right. You know, there are many aspects to the thing. It's not that you're just standing in front of the wall that does it. But it's really have to be from really the bottom of your heart. And to pray, and the Zohar says like this, how powerful is the Torah? How divine it is above everything. He called me she'osek b'Torah, whoever occupies himself with the Torah, is not afraid from any power in the upper worlds and the lower worlds. Eino yarem ha'mikrim ha'raim she'ba'olam. He's not afraid of the bad stuff that happens in the world. Mishum shu achuz be'etz ha'chaim, because he is attached to the tree of life, which is the Torah. Ve'ochel mimeno b'chol yom, and he feeds from the tree of life every day. Ki haTorah melamedet et haAdam lalechet b'derech haEmet, because the Torah teaches the person to walk on the truthful direction. Melamedet lo etzeich lashuv lifnei Adono, the Torah is teaching the person how to go, come back to his master. Afilu mavet nigzar alem, that's the most important thing. One of the most important and powerful sections is in the Zohar, Vafilu Mavet Nigzar Alav. And although death have been decreed upon the person, Ech Hakol Mitbatel Umisalek Mimeno. When the person learns from the Torah how to come back and reconnect to Hashem, everything, the decree will be canceled and be removed from the person and does not dwell on him. So think about it. There's it canceled, takes, goes away, and does not dwell on the person anymore. Valken, therefore, צריך לעסוק בתורה יום ולילה. That's why the person has to be occupied, busy with the Torah day and night, which means, you know, can I go everywhere with the Torah? And the answer is, yes, you can go. However, you have a lot of stuff to do. But the moment we look at the Torah not as a religious thing, but it is a vehicle to train ourselves to think in a proper way, which is called the tree of life state of mind. It's the consciousness, the awareness of the tree of life. And that means you realize that it has the way, let's say you're a farmer, there's a way to work the land. If you're doing business, there's a way to do business. If you're married and you have a, you know, you have a spouse, there's a way to handle your relationship with your spouse, with your children, with your neighbors. Everywhere you go, the Torah gives you set rules of how, as the Zohar says, the gates of death and the gates of life. And the Torah is teaching us how to go only through the gates of life. When we go to the gates of death, we accumulate the power of death wherever we go. And in order to avoid that, this is why we have to study, which is not just a study, it is to occupy ourselves, to be busy with, because this is the state of mind. How do I deal with my thoughts, with my emotions, with my desires, with my plans, with my vision? It's all there. Not because I'm afraid that God will punish me if I'm not going to do what it says in the Torah, because this is the way to connect to the light of God. And that's why it says, זה שכתוב והגית, where it's quoted from, it is quoted from the book of Joshua, chapter 1, והגית בו יומם ולילה, you should dwell on it, ponder on it, day and night, which means 24/7, but it means also when everything is great and shining, and when things are dim and dark, you should dwell on that thinking all day and night, which means when you're up and down the ladder or the story of life, both, when you do that, you reach the consciousness, the state of mind of the tree of life. And when a person removes the Torah away from himself, or just say goodbye to it, it is like he being kind of giving up on life. Okay? Which means, again, it's not about being religious, not doing God a favor. Okay? It's about, as we know, the more we attach this state of mind, the more the tools we have to stay on a positive way of thinking and to stay successful, happy, and so on. Now, what is the question about the prayer? Because you can see people saying, look, you pray to God, you pray to God, Va'et Hanan, numerical value 515, to show, which is also tefillah, a prayer, 515, to show here, Moshe was praying 515 times to get into the Holy Land, and the answer was no. Kind of pessimistic, right? Which means you pray to God and God says no. God never says no. Never. Why? Can the endless say no? No is a very finite thing, right? God is always about, the Creator is always about, why not? Go ahead. Everything is great. You know, so what's the story? And the question is, and you have to understand it, you know, you can comment it and say, you know, some people are coming from a place of, you know, God doesn't work for you, and whatever you ask from him, he doesn't have to give it to you. Okay? Have you heard people saying that? For sure. Okay? I'm not saying it's wrong, but it's not the tree of life consciousness. That's more tree of knowledge, good and evil. Okay, you ask, you pray, sometimes you get it, sometimes you don't. Okay? Very clear, very, very materialistic. Very materialistic. Oh, you know what? You prayed to get that job. Okay? But it was not good for you. That's why God said no, and you realize later that you're not supposed to get this job. Oh, thank God I didn't get the job. Yeah, but I was still upset because I wanted the job so much and I didn't want to give it up. Okay, you know what? I'm not saying this is wrong, but that's not really Tree of Life state of mind, if you get what I'm saying. Rabbi Ashlag is saying, explains it from a different place. He says, you know, you pray, and you pray, and you pray, and you pray. And then the question is, logically, every time we pray, we're supposed to get what we're asking for. And the answer is, you know, logically, sometimes it's good for us, sometimes it's not good for us, and we don't always know. So what does it mean? So maybe I shouldn't pray with all my heart because maybe I'm not supposed to get it. Says Rabbi Ashlag, something so important for all of us. What is the purpose of the prayer? Oh, you know what? Before that, what's the purpose of life? The purpose of life is to connect to the light of God. No other purposes, right? Now, sometimes, you know, that light of God is wrapped with a nice family. Sometimes it's wrapped with health. Sometimes it's wrapped with bliss of a lot, you know, doing nice business and being successful. So, but basically, what is that you want? Kabbalah, you know, you start to learn Kabbalah, the first thing you learn. What's the first thing everybody's about? Everybody's about, if you really learn the state, the philosophy, the consciousness, and the study of Rabbi Ashlag, it's all about desire. Okay, admit it. It's all about desire. No, I don't have a desire. I'm here just to give. You, who are you lying to? You're a human being. You're a creature of desire. How do you know you woke up in the morning? You already want something. Okay, immediately. Okay? The moment you wake up, how do you know you woke up? You want something. You want to sleep. You are aware that you want something. To sleep some more. It's like you ask, what is that I want right now? A human being without desire is like, I don't know, it's desire comes before oxygen. Okay? Because you breathe, because you want oxygen. No desire, no life, nothing. It's like there's nothing to talk about. Okay? And you think, and we said it many, many times, Descartes, the great philosopher, I think he said, I think, therefore I exist. No, if you don't want something, you don't think about anything. Okay? When do you think because you want something? Okay, remember that. So what is that we want? We have to be asking ourselves all the time. And that's what the Torah is teaching us. What is that I want? What do you want? You know, and we spoke about it many, many times. We want the connection to the light of God. As it says, I repeat it thousands and thousands of times. The Zohar says, and God said, let there be light. And God saw that the light is good. Says the Zohar, we learn from there that all that is good is derived from that light. We want that fulfillment. So when you pray, says Rabbi Ashlag, so God said no. And Rabbi Ashlag is saying, just a second, you're missing the point. When you pray, what happens? When you really pray from the bottom of your heart, you are connecting to the light of God. And that's your reward, period. Okay? That's your reward. What's the biggest curse? The biggest curse, it says, that God is cursing the snake. You will eat dirt. Why? There's always dirt, enough dirt everywhere. There's dirt. You eat dirt, and you don't need me. Don't come to me. You know, that's a legend. That's why the snake was cursed to eat dirt. We're talking about this being called the snake. That energy of the ninth of Av. This is the energy of darkness. You don't need me. Which means, what's the worst thing? That you don't need the light. There's nothing worse than that. The moment you pray, it means you're focusing on wanting to connect to the light of God. The moment you made that connection, your prayer already was successful. And the moment you're aware of it, what do you care about, you know, physical things? Once we need it, once we don't. Once we think we need it, once we realize, you know what, was better off without it. But the moment you're focusing on the real thing, because by the way, when we connect to the light of God, we get satiated. And when we get satiated, you know what? Everybody knows that you shouldn't be really hungry when you go shopping. Do you know that? Because you're going to be shopping differently after a good meal than when you're hungry. Okay? So when you pray and you are hungry for the light and you start being fulfilled with the light, doesn't everything look different after you are enlightened? Suddenly, that stuff that you really thought that you need, you don't really need it. You know what, God? Yeah, it would be nice if I have it, but you know what? If I don't need it, never mind. Why? Because all what we need is the light. So let's go to, do you really think that Moses prayed 515 times, okay, to get into the Holy Land? And he's telling us that he prayed 515 times and God said no. If you study Rabbi Ashlag, there's no way that this is the reason he's not complaining, he's not a victim, okay? This is not what Moshe Rabbeinu is about. I hope everybody is clear about this issue. So what he's saying? So that's, you know, so as we said, Rabbi Ashlag is saying, the moment you pray, your reward is the biggest because you're connecting to the light. Very simple. And if you pray because you want to complain, that's not a prayer, that's a complaining. Okay? And I repeat that joke about this guy who comes to the rabbi in the synagogue and he says, Rabbi, I want to do a big Thanksgiving meal. And the rabbi said, for what? So the guy said, you know, more than a year ago, I was really like in a terrible state. I had no money, no food. And I tried everything, nothing worked. And I decided to pray. And I came to the synagogue, this synagogue. And I prayed one time. And I was praying with you. And I really asked God to give me sustenance. And since that day, I'm so successful. I made so much money. And after a year, I said to myself, you know, you should come back and say, thank you. So I'm coming over here, you rabbi. Please, I want to make a big Thanksgiving meal. Just tell me how much it will be cost, how much it will cost. I'll pay everything, invite the whole community. And the rabbi is like, what? You came once a year ago, and since then, you're making tons of money? I'm here all my life, and I pray every day three times for money. I never have money. How could that be? So the rich man says, you know, Rabbi, because you are nudnik. You know what's a nudnik? Somebody who comes to you with all kinds of nerving questions. And you know, he's asking you the question, not because he wants the answer. He asking you the question because he wants to upset you. He's complaining. He's not asking questions. Like, it's like asking question, your rabbi, why is it that Moses didn't get to the Holy Land? He was so righteous. How come, you know, how come he didn't get, and then so many people came in, they were not even a little bit righteous like he was. You know, all kinds of questions that there's no answer. So what is the purpose of your question? Huh? That if Moses, the great righteous person, there was no person on earth that was righteous like him, prayed 515 times and he was not answered. What do you want from me? I don't even want to start praying because, you know, I have no chance whatsoever. Do you think that that was the purpose? That's a nudnik. And nudnik is somebody who's asking a question, he's not expecting any real answer. He's not going to listen even. His purpose of asking the question is to be negative. Very simple. So when you pray to God, just to get by with it, you know, just to say, you know, God, I prayed thousands of times. I didn't get it. You didn't want to get it. You didn't let yourself even to open up to get it. But the question is to get what? So let we see the answer. Moses is saying, he's approaching the Creator. So many is like appreciating the greatness of the Creator. So we just remind ourselves, who are we standing with when we pray? And can you imagine the gift? There is endless Creator, and any moment you can approach Him. You don't even have to approach any bench. It just, as we said before, you just have to approach from the walls of your heart. And He's there for you. Okay? And then it says, you know, I want to see the Holy Land, Ha'aretz HaTova, and so on and so forth. And I want to see Beit HaMikdash, the holy place. And what was God's answer? Moses is teaching us, verse 26. Vayomer Hashem Elai Rav Lach. And God said, Rav Lach. And the Zohar says, Parashat Vayetchanan, and gives an answer, very simple answer. I heard it from my teacher, Rabbi Peretz, and he said it in this way. He says to Moshe as follows, that you can find it in the Zohar Asulam of Parashat Vayetchanan, verse 15. Not just he says, Rav Lach, Al Tosef, Daber Elai Od Badavar Zeh. He says, Rav Lach, how is it being translated? I believe that in most translations it says, enough, don't talk to me ever about this issue. Okay? Now, but if you don't really understand Hebrew, you can miss the whole thing. You know, you pray to God 515 times. Not just, it's your Moses, okay? You carried that nation, the vision of the Creator, for 40 years. You know, how much was Moses' salary? Huh? And he did it just with no complaint, doing that mission for 40 years. And in the end, he says, let me just see this place. Don't talk to me about it. What's the lesson about it? You know, free will is a very weird place. You know, free will is the ability to choose between light and darkness, everywhere, in every position. Here it is. You can look at that and become very bitter and aggravated. If God spoke to Moses like this, you know, who am I? You know, what's the chance I have? I will never be able to follow even a bit of Moses' rights and, you know, positive points. And the Zohar says, no. And the Zohar says, Amar Rabbi Chiya said, Amar lo HaKadosh Baruch Hu LeMoshe, Rav Lach, Dizdavgat B'Shechinta, you are already united with the Shechinah. Al Tosef, and Rabbi Yitzchak adds, don't add, which means, what else do you want? You are totally united with the Shechinah. Because of what? 515 prayers. What did Moses want? So some say Moses wanted to see the Beit HaMikdash, the temple. He wanted to be in Yerushalayim, in the Holy of Holies, and just like, please just let me connect And I can go, and what is God saying to Moses? You are already totally united with the Shekhinah. There's nothing to add. Al Tosef, there's nothing to add over it. You think there's something more to get. There's nothing I can give you anymore. Rav Lach, Rabbi, and then Rabbi Yitzchak adds. Rabbi Yitzchak Amar, Rav Lach, bin Yehu de Shimsha de Hava Gabach. You already have the light of the sun. והלבנה אינה יכולה להאיר עד שיאסף השמש, but the moon, you have to let the moon shine. What about Joshua? What about the rest of the nation? You have to let them shine too. You can't just, your light is so strong, there's nothing stronger than your light. You already have everything a human being can have in shining of the light. You wanted the light? You got it. Okay? Now you let them do that. Okay? So what do we learn? Something amazing. Moses, because he prayed from the bottom of his heart, he received what he wanted. He received to be united with the Shekhinah. And God said, do you think there's more than that? There isn't. You have everything. Adding on that, there's nothing to add. You have all of it. You think if you come and you come to Jerusalem, whatever, don't worry, you already have it. Which means, how many times we have what we really desire just under our nose, but we are so distracted with, I need what they have and this and that, and we just go running like crazy till God says, you know what? Maybe you shut up for a moment and sit quietly. Just think what you've got and you'll realize, wow, I already have it. It's in me. It was there all the time. And I was just telling myself a story that I need that and I need that and I need that. Right? You have it all. You have it all. You don't need to run like crazy, like a headless chicken, in order to get it. You already have it. Why? How far? And Moses says it later on. It's like, you know, you don't need to go and fly up the air to the heavens to get it. You don't have to go down deep to get it. It's in your mouth and in your heart. That's where it is. And Moses is showing to us, what is the power of a prayer? When we are connected to the Shekhinah, is there anything else that we need? No. This is the purpose. Yeah, but I need just one more pair of shoes. Are you funny or something? Are you joking or something? No, I just didn't finish. You had it all. The whole thing that people definition of what does it mean to have it sometimes is so sick. And it gets us really crazy. And that's what prayer is about. Prayer is about finding deep inside what is it we really want? What is it we really need? And when you find that quiet place of contemplation and connecting and union with the light of God, then you realize all the rest is just bonuses. If I get it, great. If I don't, okay, it's okay. We're okay with that too. Okay, so let's continue. And we see how everything else is connected to the same thing. Now, it's also, as we said, we have the 10 utterances. What was the whole thing about Mount Sinai Revelation? If you remember the study of Parashat Yitro, the whole thing of Mount Sinai Revelation was that the nation of Israel arrived to a place of total unity. And Rabbi Ashlag goes to the detail, what does mean total unity? It's being in a place in which you're willing to serve everyone around you with all your might, because you know they're going to serve you the same, and together we'll reach that place of what? Being one with God. That's the purpose. So you love others because that's a way to connect to the Creator. What do we mean to connect to the Creator? What is that we want? And as we said, going again, we need to be healthy. We need to have food on our table. We need to have a roof over our head. But by the way, where all of it is coming from? It's all coming from the endless light of the Creator. That's where it's coming from. Nowhere else. So what do you need first? When I'm connecting to that oneness, then I know that everything else will be, it's a package deal. And when you're not one with the Creator, food will never satiate you. A penthouse in Manhattan, which is not a big deal right anymore, or a big house in Florida, in the one of the luxurious gated communities, and you have also a nice house in the mountains, and then you have a villa in Toscana, which is also, Italy is right now not such a jewel. All kinds of stuff. It used to be like a big deal. It's like, what? But you know what? When you are connected to the light, you'll get, and I'll get the right housing, I'll get the right food, I'll get the right, my health will be okay, everything will be okay. When you go around with that state of mind of certainty, everything falls in place when it needs to fall in place. This is perfectly the purpose of the prayer. This is also the purpose of loving others as you love yourself. Because when you create that unity, you are united with the light of God. And when you're united with the light of God, then you know all the rules. And the result was Mount Sinai revelation. Then you don't have to learn about do not steal. You're simply in a place that you're incapable of stealing because you don't want to cut off that connection to the light. You're incapable of killing, always of killing, because you're incapable of severing your connection with the light, which is what everything is about. Okay? And so that is Mount Sinai revelation. That's what the 10 utterances are about. It's about the connection to the tree of life. How many sefirot in the tree of life? 10. How many utterances? 10. That's what it is. So it's not a logical thing. It is a state of mind. It is a mental state of being. When you have a company or a society that people are connected to the tree of life, you don't need to run after everyone to see if they really do the job. And when you have to run after everybody to know if they're doing the job, then, it's a waste of money. You're not going there. So what is it about? It's about integrity. It's about that's a real, true integrity that nobody needs to police us. But since we can't really trust ourselves, we'll see. We need to be in an environment that people revere and respect spirituality and the light in everything they do, because that will remind everybody all the time, hey, that's what we are here for. Oh yes, we need to make money. Of course you need to. You need to keep our health. Of course you need. But if you're not keeping your integrity and your connection with the light, what do you need the money for? That's not going to make you happy. What do you need your family for? That's going to be only aggravation. What do you need the status for? That's going to be only aggravation. How many people have a status and they're totally crazy, nuts, because they're always afraid that somebody's, you know, digging under themselves in order to take their power. Okay? You know, I think you know what we're talking about. So here we're going then. So let's go back, as we said, and then the connection to the Shema Yisrael, which is exactly the same thing. Okay? So let's read. And it says in the Zohar about the Shema Yisrael. We said the Shema Yisrael is also in this parasha. Verse 61 in the Zohar of Asulam. Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. Pikuda da, this mitzvah. Liyachada Shmei, the Kudsha Baruch Hu, b'chol yomah. To unify the name of God every day. Kideha kemadim yachadei Shema, the Kudsha Baruch Hu, letata. Okay. Explanation. Translation explanation. Because the way people unite the name of God below, okay, the same way his name is being united above. Whoever is unifying the name of God, Yasim Libo Retzono Bayichudo Shaman, should put his heart and his will in that unification. Which means to unify his name below. Okay. And I continue, I'll explain. Vayichaber Kol Avirav should unite all his organs. Which means we know the parts of the body of the human being, each one of them is relating to another sephira. We know that the parts of our body, they are all manifestation of the tree of life. So when we think about uniting all our organs together before saying the Shema Yisrael, because in the complete prayer of the Shema Yisrael, there are 248 words corresponding to the 248 bones that we have in our body and organs we have in our body and in our soul. Okay? The same way the person consciously puts all his organs together with the organs of the tree of life, below and above, he is also uniting all the sefirot in the same unification that all of them will be one. This is a very important thing about everything, but especially about the Shema Yisrael. What is Shema Yisrael? Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. Hear, O Israel, God, Hashem is our God, Hashem is one. What does that mean? Oh, there's only one God, and it's our God. Everybody else's God is wrong. It's only our God. Oh, very dangerous. Okay? Very, very dangerous. A lot of people got it wrong, and the bloodshed that came out of it, terrible. No. It is about, as Zohar is saying, a person has to meditate and contemplate exactly about all what we just said as an introduction. With our minds in this physical world, because we are human beings, and this world, it is chaotic because it was given for us in order to put it together. Okay? So when we consciously are focusing that all the organs in our body, with all the organs of our soul, with all human beings that are also different organs of Adam, all of this, we are all one. And we are, when we think that we are all one, what do? We overcome the illusion of the sin of Adam. And we break that illusion by seeing that all of these fragmented reality, it's all one with all the sefirot of the tree of life. When we do that twice a day, we mend a little bit the broken vessels of what is called physical reality. The more people do that every day, the more people do it with more conviction, reality will start to mend itself and to be more harmonious. This is our job. Why? When I think like this, when I vibrate like this, when I believe like this, when I think that, when I have certainty about this, I look at people differently. I don't see them as enemies. I don't see them as competitors. I see them the same way that in a healthy human body, every cell relates to the other cells as partners in the same job to create one great environment of harmony and cooperation. When some cells don't think like this, that's called a disease, correct? So why would some cells think like this? It's because the brain and the mind and the thought in the heart of that person goes crazy. And you start looking at other people as your enemies, as your competitors, instead of seeing them that we are teammates in the same journey. Some of our teammates got really wacko and the kind of nuts, but they're still part, and you know, we can't get to the final line, to the finish line without them. What can we do? I don't agree with them, but you know what? You can't get, that's what Judaism is about. Nobody will be left behind. Yeah, but the Christians, the Muslims, oh, the Shiites, terrible. The extreme Islamists or whatever they are, the criminals, the idol worshippers. Yeah, we can't make it without them. Everybody's included. Everybody is part of God's creation, and nobody will be left behind. Okay, got it? So you want to say, when I say Shema Yisrael, I have to think also lovingly and kindly about all of them? Yes. And if you don't, you are part of the disease, which is called fraction, separation, confusion, wars, all of that stuff. The fact that somebody thinks that he can step on somebody else and gain something out of it, you must be out of your mind. How can be happy out of somebody else's misery? But you know what? A lot of people can't do that. They're too chaotic. So who can help them with that? All of those people that say Shema Yisrael twice a day, and they say it with so much excitement and love, and they bring in everyone. We are all one, and there's a quantum consciousness that more and more people start to realize, but we are all one. We are not a global village. We are one body. We are one body. And if somebody is sick, one of those nations, or one kind of a society, or one community, we have to help them get healthy. Getting rid of them is not even an option. We all have to get them healed. And hatred is not even an option, sane option. But they're wrong. Yes, they're wrong. So, but you can't without them. You can't without them. So the whole parasha of Vayetchanan, so what is about that consciousness of A, we, our job is to pray. What purpose? Because when I pray, I get myself into that state of mind that I have to unite my physical world with the divine world because they're inseparable. That's one. And my physical world includes all kinds of organs and cells and whatever, and people, and nations, and religions, and different parties and different point of views, and some of them are crazy, some of them are amazing, some of them are, you know, kind of not crazy and not amazing, but all of them are part of the same thing, which is called humanity. We all came from the same place, and we're all going there, we want it or not. And the better we wake up for that idea, it's better for all of us. Okay, so this is what the Zohar is saying, this is what Shema Yisrael is about. Shema Yisrael Hashem is about creating that state of mind of harmony, heaven and earth, me and you, us and them. It's all one, all one. And if it's not one in your mind, it's not going to be one on your daily behavior. And we know so well how easy it is to fall into the illusion. You know, there's a story about this great rabbi in Jerusalem who was a great Kabbalist a century ago. His name was Rabbi Arye Levin. And once somebody met him on the street, and he loved people unconditionally, doesn't matter what they did. He was like this, like, big, big, shining light of love, going around everywhere, really everywhere, to jails. He would go every Shabbat to jail to pray with the prisoners, no matter what they did. Shabbat, stay home with your kids. Even one Shabbat, his daughter was so sick. She was going to die, and the doctor said, she has maybe a few more hours. And he said, but I have to go to pray with the prisoners. And he ran, I'll do it fast, I'll come back, and he prays with the prisoners. And they heard that his daughter is dying at home. So they go and for an aliyah, you know, when you've been called to read the Torah. So in synagogues, people donate. I donate to the synagogue. So, and the prisoner went to the Torah, and the first one said, I give 3 months of my life to the doctor of Rabbi Arye Levin. The second one said, gave 6 months. Another one gave 2 years. He went home. She was healthy. So one day, somebody meets him on the street with his wife, and they ask him, where are you going to? He says, my wife, her knee, how do I translate it? My wife's knee is hurting us. Okay, it's like, it's not her knee, it's our knee. It's like, you know, you can't separate between her knee and me. So I can't, you know, her knee is aching, but I feel the pain also, so we go for the doctor to look at our knee. But he was not looking like this just to his wife, even prisoners and all kinds of other people. And that's how people saw him. Okay, so this is the way to be healthy. Because when we are fighting and arguing with people in our mind, in our hearts, then don't be astonished if you realize that the different cells in your body start to fight with each other. It's called autoimmune disease. What's autoimmune disease? Is your body cells are starting to argue with each other and they have a fight. They must be nuts. That's what humanity is about. We are nuts. Instead of looking at other people and realize they hurt us. Which means I see a person that is like, he's hateful. And like, wow, it's so painful that he's hateful because he's also part of me. Why? We will never go to the endless without him. You tell me, this hateful guy, I have to go there with him? Yeah. Yeah, that's a law. God created him too. No, only my community. We are so righteous. Our teacher is so righteous. Only we are in the right consciousness. Everybody else will go to hell. Do you think that God created 8 billion people? The whole big experiment for 100 people together? You know, how do you think that, you know, that's what you think about your creator? You must be out of your mind. As Rabbi Ashlag is saying, if you think that Mount Sinai revelation is about religion or about politics or about nationality, you must be out of your mind. Okay? And he said it with such a, like, he's shocked that people can think like this. Why? Because it's a stick. So how can we heal humanity? When we pray for others to become sane, when we pray from the state of mind that we are all one, even the people are wrong, even the criminals, even the guys are very vicious. When we understand that, it affects everybody else. So there's an amazing story about it in the Zohar, this parasha. Because it says all of this union is where we have to remember there's a job. Our job is to overcome our evil inclination. Remember that? Because why we go crazy? We have an evil inclination to overcome. Because you can't have that, you know, loving everybody genuinely, unconditionally, without any doubt, this is being in heaven, right? If somebody hates you, I think this is the biggest revenge, when you can't hate them back and they can't upset you. There's no bigger revenge than that. Correct? When you're not in that game. So it says in verse 150, there's one of the most like amazing Zohar, famous Zohar. Boe, come and see. Yetzer hara lemar domein, the evil inclination, what is it like? Beshah sheba litchaber im adam, when the evil inclination comes to be your friend, ukebarzel miteran shemeviim oto baesh, it's like iron before being put in the fire. After it got hot, he becomes like fire, you know, like when you heat up the iron, it becomes red like fire. You know how it is, when in the beginning we have just a little thought, and then it heats us up. We get excited. In Hebrew, it's like get inflamed. Okay? Rabbi Chiya said, why is mentioning that? Beshah sheba litchaber im adam, when the evil inclination comes to be your friend, oh, I'm just your friend. I want just for your good, right? Okay, the evil inclination never tells you, I want to kill you, I want to get you sick, I want to get you out of your mind, I want to ruin your day, you should listen to me. Is that the way the Yetzer Hara is approaching us? Of course not. Of course not. So what is it like? It's like a person who comes to the house and he realizes the door is open and there's nobody to prevent him from coming in. So it's like the iron that is still like cold, okay? Which means you have the opportunity to close the door and say, you know, excuse me, but I'm not, I'm busy. You know, don't call me, I'll call you, okay? But if you don't do that, you let him in, you know, comes that thought to hate somebody, to get upset about somebody, to blame somebody, to be annoyed by why God helps those evil guys and doesn't help me to be rich and stuff like this. You know how the Yetzer sounds like. Okay, he comes to the house. Now in the moment he's in your house, he's your guest. He's your guest. Okay. Now, he sees that nobody says to him, oh, thank you for coming, but you know, that was so nice. Here's the door. Very, very nice of you that you came. Bye, we have some other commitments. You know, you very politely just sever the connection. The iron is not that hot yet. He sees that nobody throws him out of the house. He realizes that nobody throws him away. He takes ownership. Oh, I was here all the time. That's mine. You know, you don't remember, but I was here first. Nasa balabait. He becomes the master of the house. Then he takes ownership of the whole house. What happens? Now, he's already your master. Why is that being mentioned right now? Because fighting for that state of mind, that everyone around us, every cell inside us, whatever is happening everywhere around this planet, it's all part of the big plan, which is reuniting humanity back into one whole. And that means I'm not supposed to make everybody to be like me. If all our cells will be the same, we'll be slime. Okay? Don't try to be what you're not. You know, why is it that in all religions, it is, I want to be part of it. No, come on, what do you have to do? Oh, almost nothing. Just say you are, say a few words and you're already part of us. And Judaism is like, what's wrong with the way God created you? There's nothing wrong about it. You're supposed to be what you are. Okay? Very rarely you're not supposed to be what you are. It's like, you know, the people that have that tikkun, you're born somewhere else in order to find your way home because in previous life, you kind of abused your birthright and you found somewhere else and now you have to find your way home. But usually, most people are born where they're supposed to be born and have to, first of all, find who you are before you're looking for other identities. And that's why Judaism says, never says that everybody has to convert to become Jewish. No, if you are connected to the light and you believe in oneness of the creation and the creator and humanity, you're righteous among the nations and you like, yeah, we'll celebrate in the Gan Eden together. Which is very not like religions, the political religions of the middle of the Dark Ages. Which is all about separation. Oh, they're not like us, they go to hell. You know, how many people will go to hell? No, but everybody thinks a way wrong, not like me. Wow, that leaves almost 8 billion people out of the picture. Okay? How many people really think like you? Or you think they think like you? That's where politics, separation, hatred is starting from, in the name of God, okay? And what about nationality? And Rabbi Ashlag is saying, wait, are you nuts? Do you think that one nation can have peace without the other nations having peace? And when people say, oh, only one congregation will be successful when the others will perish. Forget it. So when we pray, and we include everybody in our prayer, when we say the Shema, we include everybody in that Shema. When we think about the 10 addresses of Mount Sinai, and we include everybody in that, why? You know that what the Talmud says? Mount Sinai revelation has been said in 70 languages. What? Hebrew and Egyptian will be enough. What do you need Hungarian for that? No, that was also Mount Sinai. Hungarian, are you nuts? What about Swedish? They were too. What about Chinese? Oh, they said it was said also in Chinese. Why? Because they didn't come to the rendezvous, but they were supposed to be part of it. So they didn't come. So our job is to bring the message to everyone, so each one will understand it in his own special, unique way. And when we understand that, we'll understand what is redemption. We overcome hatred for no reason, and we can heal the whole story of the snake and the ninth of Av. Thank you, everyone. Have a great week. And that's why we understand that in the ninth of Av, we have also Mashiach, because Mashiach, numerical value, is Nachash, the snake. Because the remedy is exactly the opposite to the disease, which is separation. Thank you, everyone. Have a great week.
Thank you,
and
Rabbi.
Happy anniversary of
Rabbi. Thank you so much. Thank you. Thank you. It was amazing. Thank you.
Bye.